John chapter 19 this morning, if you'd like to open your Bibles. As you can see, we're having communion today as a body. Important service for the church, time of deep reflection, as we consider what Christ has done for us. Father, we sincerely pause everything right now to consider the sacrifice that was made, that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might have eternal life. We pause, we sit at this table this morning to remember you, to praise you, to honor you. Lord, our time at your table may be a time of motivation for us, a time of reevaluation of our lives, of our priorities. Speak to us, Lord. And I pray especially for anyone here who doesn't know you, that they would enter into our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we partake of the communion elements this morning, I want you to take just a brief look at a statement that Jesus made just moments, seconds, before he died on the cross. It is a profound statement for us to consider as we sit at the Lord's table. Look at verse 30 of John chapter 19. It says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." It is finished. Three words in the English language, one word in the Greek language. Many of you have probably heard it. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. One of the most interesting words that you find in the New Testament. It's packed full of meaning and it gives us incredible pictures of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So before we take these elements, let's sit and let's just contemplate that word, tetelestai, and all that it means. This is a word that was very common in the ancient times. It was used by common people day in and day out on the street. And so it had a very well-known meaning. Tetelestai first was used to speak of just simply finishing a job, accomplishing a task. In those days, a master might tell his servant, "I have a job for you. I want you to go out and accomplish this task." And then the servant would go out and he would take care of that task. He would get the job done. And then he would come back to his master and he would say, "Tetelestai, it's complete. I finished the job that you gave for me. I accomplished that task." Jesus on the cross is saying to his Father with this statement, "I finished it. I finished the job that you gave me. I completed the mission that you sent me to complete." Mission accomplished. And we marvel at the mission that Jesus was sent on. When he says, "I finished it," that's a big deal. because he was given quite a mission. The mission involved him as the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, leaving heaven and coming to this planet and becoming a man. He did that. The mission involved him living a perfect life among sinful humanity in a fallen world. He did that. The mission involved him coming and sharing the truth, telling people about God, the truth of heaven and the kingdom of God. He did that. The mission involved that he would come and he would heal people so that they could see his power. The healing of the sick, the raising of the dead. He did that. And ultimately, his mission was to come and offer himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And he did that. He completed it. And folks, please understand, Jesus knew full well what he would be facing. He knew that he would be facing the worst that man could dish out. He knew that he would come. He knew that he would be inflicted with the worst kind of physical pain, the mockings, the beatings, the scourgings, the crown of thorns, the beard being plucked out, the nails in the hands, the nail in the feet. He knew all of that was coming. He accepted that mission and he completed it. Beyond that, he even knew that the worst part of his sacrifice would be that the sins of the world would be placed upon him. That he would face the wrath of the Father. He willingly knew that was coming. He took it and he finished it. He went through with it. At the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And here at the end of his public ministry, he says, I've done my Father's business. It's done. It's completed. There was no unfinished business left. And I want you to know, as we sit at the communion table this morning, let us rejoice in the fact that Jesus accomplished the task. Amen? He finished the work. Admire his courage. Admire his tenacity. Had he not done so, we'd have no hope. He did it all. He finished the work that God had set in place for him. And you know, brother and sister in Christ, as we sit at the table and we contemplate the fact that Jesus accomplished the work that he was given, let that motivate us as Christians. You know, we sit at this table and we're thankful for what he's done, but this should also motivate us to complete the task for which he sent us as Christians. He finished his work. He's given us a work. We should finish it. Our work is to be good witnesses for him, to reach this world with the gospel message. And at the end of our lives, we should want to look back and say, Tetelestai. Finished. Did it. Paul the Apostle said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. May we be those who say that at the end of our testimony here on this planet. This word, tetelestai, was also used by artists. They would use it when they finished a masterpiece. Imagine a sculptor, Michelangelo. He's got that stone and he's chipping away and he's working on his famous statue, David. Takes weeks, months. There he is chipping away day after day, turning that block of stone into that wonderful statue. And imagine right at the end, he's done his last bit of chipping, that last mark. And at the end of that, he would say, tetelestai. The masterpiece is complete. Leonardo da Vinci, after that last brush on his painting, The Last Supper, tetelestai, finished. a great author who has finished a great work of literature, that last sentence, that last period, tetelestai. Jesus on the cross, when he says, it's finished, is saying, I've completed the masterpiece. I have completed the picture of God's love. Folks, the entire Bible paints a picture. It paints a picture of that we could call God's plan of salvation, the gospel message. And that throughout the Bible, from beginning to end, you find the problem with mankind, that we've all fallen into sin. From beginning to end in the Bible, you find that God loves us, God created us. From beginning to end in the Bible, you find that the only way for our sins to be washed away is through the shed blood of an innocent substitute. That's what you get from beginning to end. So you look into the Old Testament, you look into the Mosaic economy, and you read that the Jews would have to come day after day, week after week, bringing those animals to sacrifice for their sins. Atonement comes through the shedding of blood. For years, day after day, there they come with their sacrifices. And through all that, it was God saying, sin can only be covered through the death of an innocent substitute. Then the prophets, they point ahead to a Redeemer who would one day come and offer that sacrifice. Jesus came. The New Testaments record his life and death, and then the rest of the New Testament looks back and explains it. The death of Christ on the cross is the central part of the entire Bible. And when he died, when he actually went through it, he could say the masterpiece is complete. It's what the Old Testament pointed to. It's what the rest of the New Testament looks back at. I suggest to you as we sit at the table this morning that we look upon these elements as we would look upon a masterpiece. Look at what God has done. Look at the plan of salvation that he came up with. And your eyes as a believer have been opened to it. Oh, how thankful you should be. Tetelestai was also used in those days to speak of what an inspector would say of after inspecting something. You know, imagine you hired someone to get a job done. Maybe to come out in your backyard and do some work in your backyard. You hire someone to do that. They come and they do the job. And then they come and they say to you after the job, tetelestai, it's done. And then you would go and you would look at the job. You would look it over very closely to find out if in fact it's been done correctly. And after inspecting it and finding out that it's done correctly, then you would respond back, tetelestai. I've looked, I've observed, the work is proper. Good work. This is a word that was used by the priests. When the people would bring their animals, their lambs, to the temple, they couldn't bring blemished animals. And so these animals had to be inspected by the priests. They'd look, no blemish, no limping. And once the animals were inspected and they were deemed to be appropriate, the priest would say, tetelestai. Good, proper, will work, appropriate. When God the Father looked down at Jesus on the cross, he was speaking along with his son, it is finished. He was looking down upon the death of his precious son and he was saying, tetelestai, proper, good, acceptable. God the Father was saying, I embrace, I accept the sacrifice of my son. It'll work. It'll function. It will do exactly what it was sent to do, and that is to provide forgiveness for the sins of the world. And so we sit at the table, folks, and we marvel at the perfect Lamb of God and the perfect sacrifice that he made so that you and I could be forgiven of all of our sins. And it's right and proper to say at the Lord's table that there's only one sacrifice that will work. And that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is right and proper at the communion table to remember that it is exclusive. The Christian faith is exclusive. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Why? Because he's the acceptable sacrifice. You cannot get to God, you cannot get to heaven through other spiritual leaders. They didn't die for you. The Bible's clear. The problem with humanity is sin. Sin needs to be washed away, and sin can only be washed away by the blood of Christ, not by any other. And my favorite way to telestai was used in those days. It was an accounting term. It was a financial term. It could be translated paid in full. They actually found merchants in those days, receipts in those days, that have the word tetelestai on it. If you bought a product, if you bought a service from a merchant in those days, and man, they did their thing and you paid, they would give you a receipt, and on the receipt, tetelestai, paid in full. It'd be like, you know, after you pay your last car payment. Isn't that a joyful day? That last car payment, and what comes in the mail? That transfer of ownership. You get it and it says, paid in full. And you run around the house screaming hallelujah, right? Completely, totally paid in full. The idea is no debt required whatsoever. Jesus on the cross is speaking to us when he says that statement. And he says, all of your sins are paid for. You are paid in full. Now we sit at the table and we comprehend that. We think about that. All of your sins. Some of you can look back before you gave your life to Christ and you see a life filled with sin. And you've even wondered to this day, can all of those sins really be forgiven? Selfish ambition, Jesus would say, tetelestai, paid in full. Adultery, tetelestai, paid in full. Anger, tetelestai, paid in full. Lying, tetelestai, paid in full. All of it, paid in full. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood. If you're here this morning and you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're here struggling with guilt over a sin that you've committed in the past, or perhaps you're still involved in committing today, and you thought to yourself, I'm so bad, I can never be forgiven, I want you to know this morning that if you will give your heart to Jesus Christ, all of your sin will be washed away. Paid in full. Tetelestai. I've paid for it. So think about those things. He finished the work. His work was perfect. He completed the masterpiece. And he has paid in full the debt for all sin. Listen, the Bible teaches that we've all sinned, and the punishment for sin is death. It's separation. But Christ came and took that penalty. That's how he paid it all. I want you to notice a few other truths about this word, the way it's presented. Here in John, it tells us what Jesus said. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. In the other Gospels, they tell us how he said it. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 says, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." So when Jesus says to tetelestai, it's not in a defeated way. This isn't Jesus going, "It's over. It's finished." This is a cry of victory. Right before he dies, right before he gives up his spirit, he shouted, "Tetelestai!" Had his hands not been nailed to the cross, I bet you we would have seen a double fist. "Tetelestai! It's finished!" This is like the cry of victory that you'd make after you've climbed to the top of Mount Everest. "I made it!" After paying off that car. "I made it!" You know, a person who's been working on a dissertation for years and you finally put that final copy together and you've turned it in. Yes! Folks, this is a statement of victory. Jesus yelled this. "It is finished." Tetelestai. Jesus was victorious over sin. Jesus was victorious over Satan. And on the third day, there would be another cry of victory when he rises from the grave. And Jesus would be victorious over death. I want you to understand as we sit at the table, he is victorious. He did what was required of him. He completed it. He is victorious. On the third day, he rose again. And if you belong to him, you're victorious in him. Tetelestai. I also want you to notice the tense of this Greek word. Tetelestai. There's different tenses in the Greek. Very picturesque. The past tense would read, "It was finished." That's something that happens in the past. But this isn't a past tense in the Greek. This is a perfect tense, which means it's something that was finished in the past but still has impact and effect today. So very clearly, tetelestai, Jesus is saying, "It is finished in the past. It remains finished in the present. And it will be finished for all of eternity." I want you to know that his sacrifice at the cross has been complete. The work for our salvation has been complete. Jesus never has to die again. He's done it all. He did it once. Scripture says he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. One sacrifice, one time, for everyone. The power of Christ. The power of his death and resurrection. Means it's in effect right now, today. If you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, the sacrifice that he paid 2,000 years ago will become in effect for you. You have to receive him. See, that's the other truth that comes out of this word, tetelestai. Paid in full. Jesus paid it all. You know what that means? That means you can't add to his work. That means you can't add anything else to it. And you see, that's the beauty of the Christian faith as you compare it to all the other religions. You know, all these other religions, they tell you, you got to do this and this and this. You got to jump through this hoop. You got to go to church this many times. You got to do all this. And then, you know, you earn your way into a right standing with God. You earn your way to get saved. The Christian faith says, absolutely not. You can't get to heaven by yourself. None of us are good enough to make it to heaven. Jesus had to do all the work. And so he came and he did all the work. And he said, "It is finish, tetelestai, paid in full. The only thing that you can do in order to get saved is to receive Him. Receive the gift. I love how one author put it. He said, let me put it very simply. If Jesus paid it all, you don't have to. If you try to pay for your salvation, it means you don't think He paid it all. There is no middle ground between those two propositions. God is not trying to sell you salvation. He's not offering salvation at half price. He's not offering to go Dutch treat with you. He's not offering salvation on an installment plan. God is offering you salvation free of charge. That's what tetelestai means. Jesus paid in full, so you wouldn't have to pay anything. And folks, He had to pay it all in full because there's nothing really we can offer. So you must receive Him. And I'll tell you what, when you receive Him and you become gloriously born again, you will begin to live a different life. He will transform your life. You won't live like you did before. See, Jesus, after He saves you, begins to work on your life, and He can make a masterpiece out of your life as you allow Him to. I'm going to invite us all now to bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to ask our elders to come forward, those who will be helping in the distribution. I'd like you to enter into a time of prayer. Reverence. Maybe you sit at the table this morning as a Christian and you know that you've walked away. You haven't been following Him like you should. Repent. Confess. Come clean with your Lord. Be motivated. Let what He did for you motivate you. Maybe you've just come this morning and you felt so beat up by this world. Just beat up by life. And you're a Christian. And you thought, man, does God know who I am? Has God forgotten about me? Don't ever forget that the body of Jesus Christ was broken and His blood was shed for you. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. I know things can get tough down here. Believe me, I've been through it. And I know that there's people that hurt us. I know there's struggles, but let me tell you, Jesus will never hurt you. He's your faithful friend. He's your Savior. He loves you. Receive His love. There may be some here this morning and you've never received Christ. There's no other way. His sacrifice is the perfect one. And you must receive Him. If you haven't, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me before we partake of these elements.
in your heart, you say, Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. I am a sinner. I have sinned, and I need my sins to be forgiven. Thank you for bearing my sins upon the cross. Come into my heart. I'd ask that you would hold on to these elements and we'll partake of them together. hold these elements in our hands, Lord. And we're so grateful for what you've done. That you would pay the price. We praise you this morning. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Amen. As we were given a testimony earlier in the service about God's power to heal, I believe that at the communion service, Jesus is here in power. He's communion with us. He's communing with us. And I believe he's here with the power to heal this morning. And so if you are here this morning and you have a physical sickness, some kind of physical issue that you're dealing with, I want to invite you right now to stand to your feet, right where you are. Excellent. Okay. And I'm going to ask for our elders to go forth from here. You lay your hands on. And if you feel comfortable and you're sitting around one of these that is standing, you stand up as a believer in Christ and you lay your hands on them. Lord, as we know and as has been wonderfully confirmed this morning, you are a God who heals. All you need to do is speak the word, and bodies are healed. Father, these my brothers and sisters that are standing this morning, there's a physical issue that they're dealing with. You know what's going on. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would reach down, touch, and heal their bodies. And Lord, may it be done so in such a way that others know of your power. That doctors would be surprised. That relatives would be blown away. That friends would hear and look up. Lord, we pray for healing, not just because you're a God of grace and mercy, but because we want your name to be known, to become widely spread in this community. So we pray in Jesus' name for healing. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all join folks standing, and we'll close with a song.